We have an assumption that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when we were able to bring karbanos, there was no such thing as the carrying forward of chataim, that sin did not exist, which leads to the question of, then why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Meaning, if there was an easy way to be mechaper on our sins, then why didn't it work? We say it in the Haggadah, Uvana lanu est Beis HaBechira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you built us the Beis HaBechira. It's one of our lists of dayenus, that of all the things we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, you also built us the Beis HaMikdash, and then it continues, Lechaper al kol avoneseinu, to be mechaper on all of our sins. And the Chida wants to know, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed then? And he brings a story about a farmer whose cows were grazing in a field and by mistake went into one of the fields of the parrots of the nobleman who confiscated the cows. The cows were grazing in the wrong place and they traipsed on the land of the local nobleman, the local parrots. The farmer was devastated. He needed his cows back. He asked around and he heard that just this week a similar situation had happened. Another farmer had lost his cows for the same reason. The nobleman had confiscated the cows as they came onto his property. And what that peasant had done was he came to the parrots with a gift of fruit, and the parrots released his cows. The nobleman released the cows. And this peasant was very happy to hear that this had just happened and there was a successful way of getting his cows back. And he took a big basket and he filled it with apples and he went straight to the palace of the nobleman and he knocked on the door. And when the maid opened the door, he said, "Here, I'm bringing these apples for the parrots, for the nobleman." And he put the apples in the palace. And then he went to the barn and he said, "Please give me my cows back. I've just come from the palace." And when they saw that he had just come from the palace, they assumed that he had permission, and they gave him back his cows, and he took them home. A few hours later, the nobleman came down from his room, and he found the apples in the entrance hall of his palace. And he said, "What are these apples? Where did they come from?" And the maid said, "Well, a farmer was here, and he dropped off the apples, and I think afterwards he went to the stable, and he took the cows." The nobleman was furious. He said, "Take these apples and throw them on the farmer and confiscate all of his animals." They did so. The servants of the nobleman came. They came to the farmer's home and they started to throw apples at him. And the farmer started to scream at the servants. And he said, "What's the matter with you? What are you doing this? It's all a mistake. Take me to your master and I'll explain what happened." So the servants brought this peasant to the nobleman. And when the nobleman heard who he was, that this is the peasant with the cows, he commanded to throw him in jail. And the peasant said, "I don't understand. Why did the other farmer get his cows back? The other peasant, the same story happened, and he ended up with his cows back, and me, you're throwing into jail? What's the difference?" And the peasant said, "Your friend, the other peasant, his cows made a mistake. They came into my field. He came to me and he begged for forgiveness. He acknowledged his error and promised that he would make sure that it would never happen again. And he even brought me a gift to appease me. I forgave him and gave him back his cows. But you, your cows came into my field. You come to my house and leave me the fruit as if you're in charge. You went to the barn and you demanded your cows back as if you're in charge. I'll show you who's in charge." The Chida explains, "Karbanos are indeed effective when they come with the proper emotions of understanding that I, the human being, have made a mistake and I'm coming acknowledging that mistake to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, begging for forgiveness and saying, 'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you're in charge.' Then karbanos work. But without that hachna'ah, without that acknowledgement, without the work, without the emotional work that has to come with a karban, not just does it not help, that karban in turn will anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way that that gift of apples angered the nobleman. We don't have karbanos anymore, but we do have tefillah. And sometimes when we come to daven to Hashem, it's as if we are that peasant, the second peasant, the errant peasant. We come with our list, as if we're the Baal HaBayis, as if we're in charge. And Ke'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu works for us, and in order for me to pay Hashem to do what it is that I want, whether it is a refuah, a yeshua, clarity, strength, koyach, whatever it is. So I come to Hashem and I'm like, okay, I have to pay you for your work because you're working for me. And we pay, mumble a few words like the payment that we're giving to him. So it's like we're in charge and we're asking Hashem to do for us. And the way we can pay you is by davening. So we're going to daven and then we should get what we want. It doesn't work that way. We need to come to him with the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Baal HaBayis, you are in charge. The tefillos we say will help us reach that acknowledgement, get to that place where we understand that I am nothing without you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are everything, and I'm coming to ask you for help. It should help us be makar of ourselves. The kirva, the coming closer, the karban is that symbol of coming close to him. And that's what we have to understand. By understanding it with the karban, it helps us with our tefillah. Another point. It says that all karbanos need to come with salt. It's called a bris melach. Don't bring me a karban without salt. It's the covenant of salt. The kol karban min chasecha b'melach timlach. That's the asay, the positive mitzvah. Whenever you bring a karban, it has to come with melach. Ubemitzvahs leisase, veleisashbis, do not ever stop bringing melach bris elekecha me'al minchasecha. When you're bringing your mincha, it has to come with salt on it as well. The Vilna Gaon explains why is it so important to bring the karban with salt. And he says that the putting of salt is indeed that bris, that covenant, that promise, because melach, salt, is a preservative. And what we're trying to say when we put salt on that mincha is that the kirva that we are developing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should be preserved forever. The same way that salt preserves food, I'm bringing this karban now, and I'm bringing it in order to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in whichever way I need to at this point, and I want that to last forever. Salt, besides preserving, also does something else. It does something to the flavor of the food. It burns, it's strong, it's potent, but it's mamtik es habasar. It brings out the flavor of the meat. What's the connection? What's the message? If I want to preserve my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to come with salt. It has to come with flavor. I have to do things with a flavor, with a geschmack, with an enjoyment, with a pleasure. It can't be dry and flavorless. If I'm bringing my karban or if I'm bringing my tefillah and I'm just doing it again to pay my service to Hashem so that he'll give me what I want, it's not going to work. There's nothing that's going to preserve it then. I'm bringing it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with salt. That's showing that there is a geschmack, a flavor, a passion. This Shabbos is also Parshas Zachar. It says about Amalek that what he tries to do to us is karcha baderach, to get cold on the way. Now, karcha means that he met us on the way, but it comes from the same sharish of kar, and the famous Rashi explaining the terrible sin of Amalek is that there was a boiling hot bath with everybody fearful of Klal Yisrael, and he jumped in and he cooled off the bath. And this is what Amalek always tries to do. It's kar, it's cold, it's, let's say another word that comes from the same Sharish, mikra. Mikra is happenstance. Nothing is happening because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it happen. You don't have to wake up when there are world-shattering events going on, because it just happens to be that things happen to happen, and chill out and relax, says Amalek. And we come with our bris melach and we say, no, in order to preserve, there has to be flavor. It has to be alive. It has to be real. Interestingly, it says about the karban mincha that it can't come with sa'ar or with dvash. Sa'ar is sour and dvash is sweet, is honey. Sa'ar is the yeast type of substance that makes things ferment. And dvash, of course, is honey. The Kotzker says about this, that when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it shouldn't be with too much on either extreme. Not too much fear, sa'ar, and not too much honey, comfort. But we have to find that middle path. We have to see ourselves always as if we're balanced and straight down the middle. We shouldn't come with honey, meaning so sure of ourselves and in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I could come bring him the apples and he'll give me back the cow, like we saw with that peasant. And that would be the honey. And also, we shouldn't come too sour, as if there is no hope. Extremes are not good. We're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Ava, we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Yirah. We need to have both, but neither on too much of an extreme. Another interesting point which we could bring out for this parsha, which reflects on the way we're supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I'm talking about the Karban Ayla, it says, Hu ha'ayla al mikta. It's talking about whether that you leave the Ayla on the Mizbeach throughout the whole night. And this is the Ayla that's on it, that's going to be burned. When you're bringing up the Ayla, the word mikta, the letter mem is a small letter. And the Kotzker says that the Ayla is reflective of the carbon that we bring, and we burn totally, and it goes straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All that hislavos, all that energy, all that passion, all that fire that we are meant to have, as we're speaking about with the salt, that we're meant to come with a passion and a geshmak, you don't need to show it off so strongly to everybody else. It should be internal. The flavor needs to be there. But often when we see somebody making a public display of inspiration, we're not quite sure that that's really what's going on internally. Passion and inspiration has to be there. Without it, there's no carbon. Again, like we said, without it, it's as if you're bringing something to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not for everyone else to see. That's for you to see yourself. And therefore, the Kotzker says the mem in the word mokta is going to be a small mem. You're bringing it up, the oila, and it's going to be there all night. But as far as anyone else is concerned, it's a small mem. All the excitement is internal. What does have to be public? Much later on in Sefer Devarim, we have the pasuk Tamim Tiyem Hashem Lekecha. The Tuf is written, the Tuf and Tamim is written with a big Tuf. The Tamim, the Tmimus, is the badly translated as simplicity. It also has a connotation of completeness, of doing things the right way. And we can go back to that Shvil HaZahav, that middle lane, as the Kotzker says. Don't do it on any extreme, but be a tmimistic person. With tmimus, with flavor, with geshmak, we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a servant to his master, not as the Baal HaBayis, not as the one in charge, but the one that's coming with the acknowledgement, with the flavor, with the emotions, and we bring it to our tfilis, to our davening, because that is the only karban that we have today.